The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. I just took the trip across town here from Anoka to the station in Eden Prairie, as tonight was Ghost Stories and Beyond, where we had as our special speaker tonight, Witch Jody from Midwest Witchery and Healing. And boy, what a great conversation that was tonight. Thank you to everybody who came out. We had a big crowd tonight, and I'm very happy about that. I really appreciate seeing everyone there. I know that Char, who does these with me as well, she's very appreciative. And I'm glad that you all were able to get out there. Witch Jody really has quite the handle on a lot of things, and it was really interesting talking to her. And, you know, I think what's always good about these type of conversations is that they make them digestible for people who really don't know what to expect from, say, talking to somebody who is a witch, talking to someone who we're going to be talking to who is an exorcist. You know, those are things that, you know, they might be scary concepts, but in fact, they are, you know, that they shouldn't be scary, that we shouldn't shy away from those conversations. And that's why we bring them to everybody. Also, before we really get started, I just wanted to say happy birthday to Diana. Tonight's her birthday. I really appreciate that she spent it with us over at Ghost Stories and Beyond in Anoka. So thank you very much for that. Now, tonight, I'm really excited. We are going to have on Bishop Rita Strugala. And Bishop Rita is currently the chief exorcist for the Celtic Cross Old Catholic Church Sacred Order of Exorcists, the chief exorcist for the confraternity, boy, you can't speak tonight, of St. Michael the Archangel Sacred Order of Exorcists, the chief exorcist for the Sword of St. Michael Sacred Order of Exorcists, the Celtic Cross Old Catholic Church School of Exorcism for Women, currently in session, and she is, as you may know her from, she's appeared in the television show Eli Roth Presents The Legion of Exorcists. It's on the Travel Channel, Discovery Plus, and Max streaming service. Bishop Rita, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Hey, thank you for having me. How are you doing tonight?
Well, apart from the fact I can't speak, well, I'm going to try this again. The chief exorcist for the confraternity. Did I say that right?
Yes, confraternity.
Confraternity. Yes. It's two words that make one word, and that's clearly confusing me. It's hard sometimes. One tries, and you know the IQ of a radio host is not very high to begin with. So I appreciate you being on here, Bishop Rita. I know that it's late out there for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about ten o'clock ish.
Are you at Central Time?
Yes.
Oh well, never mind then. I take that back. Now, you know, you are a Minnesota native, aren't you?
I am. I lived in, I grew up in St. Louis Park.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Not far from where I'm at all. Yeah. Do you come back anymore?
Yeah. My brother, he lives right across from the river in Wisconsin. So we do get back there. My aunt still lives in Golden Valley. So yeah, wow. Every once in a while.
That's great. No, it's very cool. You know, you'll probably be like, when I'm done here, I am done with you. But if you come back out here and you want to be a guest and come in studio, would love that. And I'm sure you're like, yeah, we'll do that.
I'd love to. Sure.
Good. Good. Well, let me know whenever you come back out here again. I have been watching. I'm going to be honest. I hadn't watched it when it originally ran on Travel Channel. So I kind of went through some of them today. And I was watching Eli Roth presents The Legion of Exorcists. And the premise is, right, that basically you and other exorcists, which I know most of them, actually, you're telling some of the most frightening cases that you've experienced, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of that to I mean, obviously all these programs for entertainment, I totally understand. But I mean, I'm sure there has to be some kind of educational value to it as well, because you're and from what I've watched, I felt like you were the most of you were the most what's the right word for it? Basically looking at your own way of handling the case and being very open about the, some of the stuff that you might have missed the first time, which I thought was really actually very refreshing.
Thanks. It actually turned out to be the ones that they chose of the cases that I presented. They did not know this, but the one that you're speaking about, that was the very first case I ever did. So there was definitely room learning curves there.
And that was the with the horse stables, right?
No,
oh, it's
the other one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I had a 50-50 chance and I blew it. this is going well. So the first one was okay, and that actually does make sense when thinking about what happened there. But both of them are really pretty incredible, and I think the second one that I watched, the one with the horses,
yeah.
And the rule of that, which I think is so important, was that that demon, evil, whatever you want to call it, can wait. And if you don't make the deal it wants to make, it's going to do its damnedest, if you will, to convince you, I guess.
Yeah. And if it can't convince you, it's going to come back anyway. They don't play fair. They don't play fair at all. It's so easy for them to get invited in and you don't even know you've done it sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you've got where they just flat out, you know, get in your face and want to come on in, and you say no. And it's like, fine. They have no problem waiting. They have no problem at all waiting. And then when you least expect it, there they pop up.
It's scary because you think about it, and it's like, as you said, sometimes you don't know when you let them in, and then the fact that they can wait. And I always remember Bishop Long. I've had him on the show before, and that's one of the things he's also said, is that evil can wait. You know, as you and I talked before the show, it's like nothing's on the same timeline as what we expect it is. It's not linear. So. Yeah. Is there a way that, you know, especially the ones that are a little bit more, you know, kind of sketchy, that really gets in without people knowing, is there a way to kind of, see that this is, that there's something wrong here? And then what I'm getting at is whether or not it is, you know, something like what we saw on the shows, that was very much like, I am evil and I'm coming after you.
In your face.
Your face. But these other ones that might be a little bit more sneaky, is there way to kind of suss that out, I guess?
The problem with it is there are so many different ways that they can get in.
Right.
And it can be as easy, literally as easy as, you know, you've got company coming over. And say you're doing something, you're in the middle of something, and somebody knocks at the door, you're expecting company, and you just yell, come on in. Oh. That wasn't your company.
Oh, wow. I mean, you, you're right. I mean, I never really thought of it that way.
You just gave them, you know, legal right to be there. So it's it can be that easy. Or it can be very, you know, manipulative and you know, you opening up portals that you don't even know that you did. It can be stuff that you brought in the house that may have been cursed that you didn't know about. There's many ways they can get in, and it's none of them is good.
Tomorrow I'm going to have on David Sloan, who's the owner of Robert the Doll. And,
yes.
You know, and I've had on Tony Spera, who owns Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
those to me are perfect examples of that. Do you have any recommendation for people who love to do antique shopping? You know, they just love to get, you know, go antique, and they don't think about the fact that maybe every time they bring something into their house, that maybe there's something they should do before it goes in.
I would sage it. I sage everything before it comes in my house. That'll take off any minor attachments. If there's actually a curse placed on it, it's not going to stop that.
Yeah.
But minor attachments, stuff like that, you can get rid of a lot of that before you bring it into your house and start having problems.
We are talking tonight with Bishop Rita Strugala, and we have seen her very recently on the Travel Channel series, Eli Roth Presents Legion of Exorcists. We're going to our chat room now. Sarah had a question for you, Bishop Rita. Have you found that the demonic takes issue with your gender?
With the gender? Not really. I think they're pretty awful to anybody.
So not sexist.
No, not at all. They don't really care. They just want, you know, somebody that they can break. That's their whole thing is to destroy mankind, whether it's man, woman, you know, child, whatever. That's all they've got on their agenda.
It's interesting. And I've had a couple people say different things. And, you know, doing and knowing, and I feel like you probably are very much understanding where I'm coming from here, knowing so many people who do these things different ways. They have different ideas of how things work. And the one that I keep kind of getting like back and forth on is the idea, if you know a demon's name, that you make them powerless. I've had one person come on who is a demon hunter. He says that is exactly what it takes. I've had others come on saying, nope, that is not the case. Have you run into anything in that area?
I have. I can only give you my experience on
Absolutely.
It as to what, and I know and understand I am old Catholic Church,
yep.
and I know that their Catholic rite asks the demon for their name, you know, tells them that you're trying to get the name. But what I have actually seen is another priest doing that. And then you have the problem of the fact that these demons are liars. They come from, you know, the father of all lies.
Yeah.
So now they're telling you their name is, say, Bubba. Okay.
Yeah.
Bubba's a bigger, badder one. And he's waiting right over here for you to say his name because it works as a summoning.
Because you're not addressing the one that you think you're addressing.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. And they can beat the crud out of you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and, you know, I was going to save this, but I mean, you posted a picture last week, wasn't it, or something?
It was from 8 years ago. Somebody else brought it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Where you got, you had a big gash in your forehead.
Oh, yes. I got picked up in a room where there was nothing but a couple pieces of furniture and thrown out 4 feet out of the room into the hallway and head first into the wall. Yeah, that was fun.
How do you get up and keep going?
Oh, it made me so mad. It made me mad. I was there. There were two priests that were there. We were there to do an exorcism. We had done a cleansing on this particular house, and I was going through doing the last part of it,
mm-hmm.
where you take, I take Ting Shaw's, which is like a bell, and I go to every corner of every room and ding it one time. The vibration, the demons absolutely hate bells. So I go in there just to make sure that we got everything. And I had done one corner, went to the second corner. I was on my way to the third corner when I got picked up and thrown out. So I knew that I missed something and I ended up in the wall. Well, I was crumpled out down on the floor trying to figure out what had just happened. My Ting Shaws were broke, which really made me mad.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the priests heard me hit the wall because a big thud and came around the corner to see what was going on. And I had a big gash and it was bleeding. You know, head wounds bleed.
Yeah.
And the other priest come around. He said, you know, take her into the other room. He said, I'm going to go take care of this. And I'm like, And let that demon think it got something over on me. Oh, heck no. That's not going to work. So
do you have to be careful, though, with that, in the sense of like redirecting your anger so it's not just blunt force anger, but rather something that you can gain power from, if that makes sense?
Oh, yeah. Like I don't know how to explain it, but it's like normally if you have an injury like that, it hurts whatever, you may cry or whatever. Yeah. No,
I was just
angry that it had it over on me. And I was absolutely determined it was not going to be done with me. Not like that. And so I came into the room just as the two priests were getting rid of it. So I was happy that the last thing it saw was my face.
Well, yeah, I mean, because that has to feel good for you to kind of like, yes, you're not going to beat me. And, you know, I've listened to Reverend Sean talk a lot about, like, you know, the way that he progresses with it, kind of an army, you know, kind of an army stance. And I mean, it's I don't think anyone would understand that unless they've lived it.
Right. It's hard to understand. It's a very odd way of life.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Why don't we go ahead and do this? I would like to take a break here. What we're going to do, we're going to bring back Bishop Rita here in a second. There's people putting questions in the chat. Continue to do so. And when we come back, we'll get to those and other things. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Have you ever wanted to see a real Masonic lodge or visit a beautiful hotel from the 1800s? Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, Charvinity, bring you a weekend of paranormal investigations in Rush City, Minnesota. Starting Friday, September 22nd at the historic Grant House and continuing into Saturday, September 23rd at the Jasper Masonic Lodge, we have a lot of options for you to join in on this event. Go to charvinity.com/event-list for full details. And you may have heard that handsome voice when we went to break talking about the event at the Masonic Lodge in Rush City, Minnesota. Definitely, if you want to do some paranormal investigating with Char and myself and want to be able to learn a little bit about it, we'll take care of you, make sure that there's nothing bad there. But honestly, the Masonic Lodge in Rush City, Minnesota has not been investigated too often. It's a very good opportunity, and you don't get into Masonic lodges very often. So definitely check it out. We're doing two investigations that weekend. Friday night, we're going to do the Grant House, which we've talked about many times in Rush City. And then Kitty Corner is this Masonic lodge that is pretty cool. And that's going to be the Saturday night investigation. Our VIP tickets are sold out, but we do have tickets for each night. So go to charvinity.com, go to event-list on the page, and you can get tickets there. It's going to be really a fun evening and a fun weekend. We have with us today Bishop Rita Strugala from Eli Roth's Legion of Exorcists. And we've been, you know, it's interesting. We've got a lot of questions, Bishop Rita, and I'm really excited about that because I think this is a great way for people to learn about it. And as I said at the beginning of the program, you know, these subjects still kind of seem taboo in some ways. And having you on, I think, helps make people feel more comfortable about being able to ask the questions about it.
Sure.
So let me go to a couple questions here. We got Joshua, and Joshua says, Bishop Rita, can a family pet be possessed or influenced? I'm just curious. I don't mean to laugh at Joshua's question. I think about my cat Linus, who I've actually put holy water on before. I really, and I'm not kidding. I mean, this animal, I love him. He is my little best friend, but he'll switch on a dime, and everyone's like, "Well, that's cats," but no, this little demon. So, I would like to hear your thoughts on Joshua's question.
It's a very good question, and yes, they can. They can become possessed, and they can also have attachments just like people do. I actually helped a dog that had an attachment. This particular one, what it did to it was it crippled its back legs and things, so it couldn't walk.
Oh.
And the owner was fixing to take it down to get it euthanized, and I happened to come in the day before, and I saw the little dog, and I just started taking attachments off it, and she freaked out because the dog was walking around and having fun. And
wow, what a change!
Yeah, they can.
You know, And thank you, Joshua, for that question. It's a great question. Mm-hmm. The thing is, it's like, it's bad enough that you're attacking people, but leave the animals alone.
Exactly.
Oh, that's the worst. Sarah has a question, and she asks, do you find that people who are victimized by the demonic are often open to evangelicalism? Why are you people are giving me big words tonight? I don't know. My gosh. Coming to someone who is in a position of weakness, how do you handle that?
Trying to see if I understand what she's asking here.
Well, it doesn't help. I didn't get any of the words right. So,
see here. Do you find that people are victimized by the demonic are often open to? Yeah. You know, I know when you're at rock bottom, when something is, you know, turning your whole life upside down, making you want to kill yourself and, you know, all kinds of. Yeah, I find people will do just about anything. They most of them will at some point turn to a higher being or at least, you know, want some help any way they can get it. And to come to a bishop or exorcist priest or something like that, yeah, they want to hear about getting a relationship with the Lord. They want to hear about what they need to do to get rid of this mm-hmm. because it's, you know, it's so debilitating, and it's not just them, it's their whole family and friends that it influences. It's a horrible thing to have because it's not just one little area of your life that it controls and it hurts. It's literally everything about your life. And so, yeah, people do a lot of times they will come to that meaning that if I go to church, if I start getting a relationship with the Lord, will this stop attacking me? You know, it'll definitely help. There's, of course, homework we're going to have to do prior.
Yeah.
But to have that relationship there, you're going to keep it from coming back and taking over your life again and again.
That reminds me of a question I want to ask you, but I do want to get to Adam. He has a question. And we are talking with Bishop Rita Strugala from the Travel Channel's Eli Roth Presents Legion of Exorcists. If you have a question that you would like to ask Bishop Rita, go to our chat rooms, put something in. This is really cool to see everyone getting so involved. Adam asks, how do you make sure that you don't bring anything home with you from an exorcising of a person or a place?
For me, I do a lot with my guides. And I ask them, you know, did we get everything? Is everything gone? And I mean everything. I mean on us, on anything. I wash like with the holy water before I leave a place. I'm very careful about that because that's not something you want to bring home to your family.
No.
So I make sure that everything has been neutralized before we ever leave their property.
No, absolutely. Now I'm trying to look up something here real fast, and I'm not criticizing you, Bishop Rita, but your answer was very quick.
Nope,
that's fine. You're just making me look bad on the air because I needed to look something up because I wasn't sure. And so there was a documentary by William Friedkin who just passed away, and he was the director of The Exorcist, but he did a documentary where he did a documentary in Italy with the Vatican about exorcism. I don't know if this is something you've heard of at all.
I have not.
So the why I bring it up is that this is a very he actually ends up shooting an exorcism happening, and I'm kind of flailing here because I'm trying to get the name of the gentleman, the bishop who's the Pope's exorcist, and his name is just leaving me at the moment. But the point was, okay, the devil and Father Amor. Mm-hmm. We see this exorcism take place, and mm-hmm. what's really interesting about it is this young lady, she's being exorcised. It's very graphic. It's like you just explained, all the family members are being affected. They are all there. And what we end up really finding out, it's not explicitly said in the documentary, but her boyfriend seems to also be possessed.
Yeah.
Because there's a shot when they're trying to hold her down and the camera zooms up and he is just staring at the camera and it doesn't look right. And then later, William Friedkin goes to a church to interview her and him, and they both go ballistic on him. It's not caught on camera. And why I bring it up to you, Bishop Rita, is because your first case that was in Eli Roth Presents Legion of Exorcists, to me, kind of felt like that when you had that demon kind of ping-ponging amongst the two ladies. Do you run into that often? Is that even a thing?
It does not happen real often, but it does happen. It's transient possession, and it can move at will. It can jump out of one and into another. And, you know, I can't speak for others, but in my cases that I have run into, I have never had one yet that just had one demon in them.
Right.
Never. And it's like once one gets in, they open the doorway and they let a bunch of others in. So you've got to be sure that you get everything out. Now, can they hide? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had them hide like in a person's bloodstream before.
Goodness.
You know, I mean, these things, they're spirits. So, you know, it's hard for some people to and even for me at times. Because you're living in a physical world, but yet you're dealing with nothing but spiritual. So your spiritual tools are what you got to use. Your physical tools are not going to work. So it can be very confusing. But it is so important to get every bit of that out. Because, yes, if you can have one of those that will jump from one person to another. That other person that you mentioned, her boyfriend, most likely at some point had an opening, gave an opening. I mean, it's if you're a Christian person, if you're not open, like a sensitive kind of thing, and you're not protecting yourself, that kind of thing, I'm not going to worry about it jumping into you. But if you are, if you're open and you're a sensitive in that, I honestly don't want you at my exorcism because things can jump into them.
You're just open.
They're just open.
Now, in that case, in the episode, your first case, that was the exact thing that happened, was that the daughter was so worried about – it was a daughter or was it aunt or mother? I'm a little – sorry.
There was a mother and the niece and then the daughter. So all of them were ping-ponging.
And at one point, the demon went into the daughter, right? Because she was just like, you leave her alone and kind of invited her in.
Right. Right. And both of the actual people that this happened to are extremely open. They're psychic big time. So they're like, did not know how to shut that down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once it gets in there like that and gets a foothold, it's just party time for the demons.
Now, you know, as we talk about demon ping-ponging, maybe that's not the right word for it, but the thing is, it's like, have you ever had it where there's two demons and they take over two people, but the people are already kind of related in a sense, or they work or live together, so they're taking over two people who are together at one point. I guess where I'm coming from with that is I wondered if that was the case with the documentary one I was talking about.
I've had one where that we went to go exercise a young woman and she was living with her boyfriend. One of the classic signs, at least for me, red flags that I have found is that when people do not remember, you know, I'm always being told that I've done this or I did that and I have no memory of this and I have no memory of that. And that's because they literally push you aside. They either put you to sleep and you don't know anything, or they push you aside and you can see everything you're doing, but have no way to stop it. That is a classic red flag for me. Mm. When she called and said, my boyfriend says, I'm doing this. Okay. We came to take care of her. When I get there, I have the gift, have always had the gift or curse, whatever you want to call it, that when somebody is possessed, I would see their eyes go black. If it's not a whole lot of demons in that person. Their eyes will go black quickly and then go back to the right color. If they've got a lot in them, they stay absolutely black.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know her boyfriend. She didn't say anything was going on with her boyfriend. We were talking about her. When we got there to take care of her, I saw him and I went, okay, now we've got more problems than we thought we had.
Oh, wow. Now, when you say that, you see their eyes go black. Now, is that something that you're seeing with any sort of like intuitiveness, or would anybody see that at that point?
I think you have to have the gift.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it looks just as physical as your regular eye color.
Sure.
But there's a lot of people that I know that said, how did you know that? And it's like, didn't you see it? You know, obviously they can't see it. So I guess it's just one of my gifts.
No, and that makes a lot of sense, because otherwise that'd be too telling, wouldn't it? If everyone
that
could see it. That'd be great, right? In a sense, that'd be like great.
I remember the first few times that happened. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't understand what that meant. And I was at a restaurant eating and I felt somebody just staring at me. And I just turned and looked at them and their eyes were absolutely black. And I'm like looking around going, "What? Why doesn't anybody else see this?" You know, I didn't realize that. That was my first indication of that gift.
Do you ever do paracons?
I've been to them as a guest. I've never been to one as you know, a panel or anything.
Well, the reason why I asked, because there used to be one in Minomen, Minnesota, at the Shooting Star Casino. And I remember there was one. I mean, as far as someone who can feel energy, that those sort of things are just run you amok, right?
Yes, there literally walk into the wall because of the energy.
It truly is. And I remember there was a woman. I had a table with my friend Nicole, and who's a very gifted medium, as you know also. And we just this woman standing looking at us, and I swear she just, the way she looked at us, her eyes were black. Yeah. You know, it was just like, you know, and it's just like, I think sometimes people go to those things just because they know that they can run amok with energy at a place like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous. I'm just kind of looking. Go ahead.
If you didn't have any attachments before, you will then.
You have to do something. You have to sage yourself or set yourself on fire.
Bath.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's just purify by fire, whatever it takes. It's really something else. Now, I have a bunch of questions stacking up here, and I think what I'm going to do is let's go ahead and take our next break. When we come back, we have some questions in the stack. If anybody else wants to ask a question to Bishop Rita, you're more than welcome to do so. We have a whole other section left. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, we are going to have on David Sloan. He is the owner of Robert the Doll. You may have seen Robert the Doll and documentaries and stuff, or seen pictures of this doll. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. It ties in to stuff that we're talking about tonight. And also my question of the week. Now, the audience that I have online here, I think I know the answer to. But anyone else listening out there, the question is, especially for those of you who don't do a lot with paranormal, but listen to the show and whatnot, do you think that objects can be haunted, like dolls or furniture or whatever else? And if you do, do you think you owned something of the sort? I put that on my Facebook page today, and it was really interesting. I got a response from someone who I didn't even think she even had any care about paranormal, anything related, and her story was very interesting. We're going to be sharing that on Friday's show. If you did have something, please send me an email, comment@ghostboxradio.com. That's comment@ghostboxradio.com. We are finishing up our conversation today with Bishop Rita Strugala from Eli Roth's Legion of Exorcists. A fantastic show. You can stream it now on Discovery Plus. That's what I did today. Bishop Rita, we have some more questions here if you would like to have any more. I think you might have caused a scare, though. Robin says, you mentioned a demon in the bloodstream. I could already imagine just people like, oh, my God. How do you sense or know exactly where the entity is hiding? It's a really good question because it's like, you know, we all have blood in us. So.
Right, right. Actually, it's another one of my weird gifts. I can feel what that demon is doing to a person, and I know where it is located in their body. They make me feel the pain of it. So that's how I know where it's at. And the next question would be, how do you get rid of that? As I basically ask for a transfusion of blood from Christ.
So what does that entail then?
I'm asking Christ to, put his blood all the way through them.
So you're saying
I'm shoving it out.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. Because, you know, and the reason why I ask it like that is because growing up Catholic, you know, the first thing I thought of when you say blood of Christ is like the wine, not that I'm thinking you're trying to get anyone drunk or anything, but I mean, but honestly, though, it's like I wasn't sure exactly what that was. So that's really interesting. Got another question from Sarah. You're all making my job very easy tonight, and that's great. Have you had any cases dealing with generational sin?
Yes. Generational curses. Yes, definitely. They're not the easiest thing to solve. They can be solved, but it takes a while longer to do. You got to cut all the ties. You got to try to figure out where it started from. You've got to basically work from here backwards, finding out how many generations back it goes, how it was, implemented. It's very involved. It can be done, but it definitely takes a lot of time.
And the follow-up to that from Dedrick was, it's a really good question of, do you think demons and bloodstream also could be generational curse hidden till a certain time?
Yes, definitely can be.
That makes a lot of sense. It's almost like a timer, isn't it?
Yes.
You had said earlier, there is no time for this evil. It can do it whenever it wants to.
Correct. And they will wait to whatever the most inopportune time is for that person. It doesn't bother them to wait. They've got forever.
Right. It's messed up is what that is.
It is.
And demon, and I was talking with Joe Stewart, who he does demon hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that, he had brought up that, their whole purpose of existence is chaos.
Absolutely.
And that's just,
he's correct.
It is so hard. It's just like, it's so hard to understand in a way. It's easy and it's also hard because it's just like, gosh, that's their own existence. Is if you're having a good day, they just want to ruin it.
Absolutely. They want to destroy you. That's what they want. There's ways to make your homes and that less hospitable for that to happen. Every single place I've ever been that I've done an exorcism is like a cave. It's so dark, and there's so many things that you can do to raise the vibration and make it a lot less hospitable for demons to want to dwell there.
We've done some cases where we've talked to people who think that that they've had something dark and demonic, and as a rule for the people that I work with, when something like that comes in, we move it on. We don't deal with that. We're not demonologists. But one of the things that, to your point, that we were saying is like, well, pull up the shades in your house, open a window, put some flowers out, don't talk about what's going on. It's all stuff that, if it's a true demonic case, that's something different. But at the very least, make it, like you just said, make it hospitable, make it light, and make it, so the sun can come in the house again.
They dwell at the lowest vibration in the universe. Love is the highest vibration in the universe. So I always tell them, love a lot. Tell the people you live with, your friends and that you love them. Not only does it raise their vibration, it raises yours.
Right.
If you bring light into the house, that raises the vibration. Bring music into the house. That dance, have fun, laughter. They hate it. They don't want to stay there because you're not dwelling in the cellar, in the dark, basically. So there's a lot of things like that you can do. Get rid of clutter and chaos, because that's what how they know that that's what your state of mind is.
Yeah.
And that is, that's what they want to get into. So,
it seems so simple. But it has to be very tough if you are oppressed by something like that.
Definitely.
So also, Joshua has a question, and I think it's a good question considering, the religion that you're a bishop of, the Old Catholic Church. Can you help an atheist under possession?
Yeah, you can, but they're going to need to, they have to actually want to have a relationship with Christ, because that's who I'm asking to come in and take this away. That's who I am appealing to. If you don't believe in him and you don't give over your will 100%, it's not going to go.
Well, and it's odd in a sense because, and I don't understand a lot of this stuff. I mean, I understand it from my point of view, but from other point of view, I'm not sure if I completely understand. Like, if you're an atheist, then you're not going to think you're going to be possessed anyway, because more than likely, would you not think that you have a demon? Or do you find people that separate that and still understand that there's evil and demons in the world, but they don't believe in a God?
Yes. That I run into that as well. And basically what you're going to have to do with those people, if this is what they want, they're going to have to go to somebody who they can release their free will to. A lot of times it's culture.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the Native Americans, whatever. They didn't think Jesus was the Son of God. He was just a nice prophet. You kind of have to go with their culture in order to get that one out then. It can be kind of complicated, and I don't want to take up the rest of your time with it, but it basically, whatever it is that person believes, that's what you're going to have to work with in order to get that out. Because if I'm trying to tell you God the Creator is, you're going to have to turn your will, they're not going to do that because they don't believe in him.
Exactly. And so my next question, I'm going to try to articulate in a way that makes sense, because it's might be convoluted. But, like I mentioned, I had this demon hunter on. Now, that's what he's doing is not religious based in any, from my understanding, any way. The way you're doing, it's religious based. It's exorcism. It's a rite, R-I-T-E. I hear other people in other religions use exorcism. And I find that interesting because that shouldn't be the case from what I understand. How do you personally coincide all these different approaches to exorcism?
Well, exorcism has been going on long before Christ came down here. And there's still every single culture has their own way of doing exorcism. I think because a lot of it is intent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm trying to think of the easiest way to say this.
Sure.
If you grew up with a certain culture that this is the way, and this is the only way that these things get out, you're going to want someone who does that particular thing. You're not going to want me in there because I don't know that culture.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to get it out. That's their mindset. And so if you can't release that in your mind, that the only person can get this out is this person, then you also have the intent in there, because intent is about 90% of it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of different components that come together, but usually with the culture, if you go with the culture that the person knows and trusts, that's how you're going to get it out.
And I would assume there's multiple levels to intent.
Absolutely.
Which confuses things even more.
Yes.
when you are doing exorcism, like I know that Roman Catholic Church, doing an exorcism is very rare. because it takes so long to go through the different stages of authenticating a true need for exorcism. Yes. How is that for how is it for you?
I am a little bit different because the way that I approach it, I can either do the old Catholic with the rite of exorcism, but I can also do it in a charismatic way instead. It just depends on the feel I get of it, I guess is mm-hmm. probably the only way I know how to say it. But it's, you know, it at first they got to go through a mental health screening, yeah. make sure that it's not a problem that way. Make sure it's not a medical problem. What are your diagnoses? What kind of drugs are you on? You know, all of that stuff has to be taken into consideration. Also, I have to take into consideration everything that the people around them that are saying, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. These are the pictures of the bite marks or the scratch marks or whatever it is. All of that stuff is taken into consideration. And I just, you know, I can feel the demon in him. Yeah. I know where it's at. Sometimes it's a judgment call where it's like, do they have multiple personalities going on? Yes, but they also have demons. So it can be it can be just one of those things. But I know because I can feel it where it's at, and I see the eyes go black and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just have to realize, you know, figure out, are they worse off with it or not? And usually it is. So.
And the gift that you're talking about here, this is a very different thing than any sort of mediumship. Or do you lump that in as a kind of a form of mediumship?
I guess you could look at it as a form of mediumship. I've got another lady on the team that she does them with me, and her gifts are way more extensive than mine, way more. And so we kind of tag team it that way. I mean, we've worked together for about 10 years on NZS, so we know each other very well. I know, you know, how we work together. So we get a bigger picture with the two of us. We get a bigger picture, and that's what we go with. And it seems to work.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Because you two are probably filling in areas that maybe you wouldn't want to, and not that you'd ever go into any of this by yourself, but you're complimenting each other, aren't you?
Right. Yes. Yes. Cause, and I mean, I can feel when Christ steps into me when we're doing these, sure. I know his vibration.
Yep.
I know when he's there, and she has St. Michael that she works with her. So, you know, we just do what we got to do.
We have just about 2 minutes left, and, mm-hmm. We got through, we have seen one season of Eli Roth's Legion of Exorcists. Is there going to be a second season?
That is the question. Everybody's asking. You know, they haven't told us anything with the writer's strike and the actor strike out there. We haven't heard a darn thing about it. I've seen in writing where they say they feel like it's coming just because it was the third highest rated show on Travel Channel during the time that it was on, and the critics reviews and all that stuff. So I don't know for what it's worth, but we haven't heard anything at all. So I really don't know.
How many how many situations did you put through to them for them to pick which
for me,
cases?
I think I submitted like it was 8 or 10 different cases.
Wow.
And they chose 3 of them at the time, and then we ran out of time for the third one. So they said if we do have a season 2, that we've already got one that can go. So
I mean, I'm having people in the chat here. They're saying fingers crossed. They're all hoping for the best with you on this. So
I hope so.
and we got some questions here that we didn't get to tonight. So I'm hoping that you will come back and talk a little bit more, and like I said, maybe even come into the studio, and we can do a program. Maybe we can even do a longer program if that works for you as well. Because I think people really enjoy talking with you tonight.
Well, I've really enjoyed talking with you all. Thank you for joining us, everybody.
Thank you, and thank you, Bishop Rita. I really appreciate the time tonight.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
We're going to be back tomorrow with David Sloan, who is the owner of Robert the Doll. Everyone, if you don't know what that is, go look it up. You'll be very interested to see. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Everyone, have a good night.